a boy and every wife could kill. He's been buying beer since August, running hot and running cold. And 30 friends are on alert, that's all the den'll hold. 'Cause he's the armchair quarterback, he's full of beer and he's full of snacks, the all-American man.
With a cool one in his hand.
Yeah, the armchair quarterback, he's kind of fun and he's kind of bad, the all-American man.
With a cool one in his hand.
Well, if you stand up, the armchair quarterback, he's full of beer and he's full of snacks, the all-American man.
Hello, welcome to Armchair Quarterback Radio. I'm Mac McGee sitting alongside Justin Waller. Sorry about the delay in the music. I was trying to do something that didn't quite work out there. Waller, how are you?
Doing great, man. Survived an exciting day of college football and NHL hockey last night. And got a little surprise for some Sunday racing that I didn't expect to see, and a great day of NFL football.
Yeah, so I guess let's just jump right on that problem at hand. They didn't race last night, huh?
No. Mother Nature stepped in and decided that we would see this race today. So the race has moved. It will be a 12:30 Eastern start on NBC Sports Network. So get up early and get ready, race fans, because if you're going to sleep in today, you decide you're going to wake up at 1 o'clock, flip the TV over, race is going to be well into it if you're in the central time zone like I am. So 11:30 Central, 12:30 Eastern, NBC Sports Network. It has moved. It's not on NBC.
So NBC Sports Network, if that's DirecTV, it's 220. If it's anything else, I don't know where it is. Where is it on? Is it in Comcast in greater middle Tennessee area?
I have Charter, and on Charter, it's in the high 800s. Past ESPN, you'll find it.
How did a new Charter came into the Middle Tennessee area?
Yeah, I'm down there in Bedford County where I'm at. It's cut off. We get that Northern Alabama cable provider, so can't have Comcast, which I could, but Charter's all we got. Comcast, sorry guys, I have no idea. Find your guide, Google it. You'll find it. Hit C on
Fair
the
enough.
Remote. I do know that. Which is pretty cool if you've ever had Comcast. You can press C and it pulls up all the sports, and I just think that's awesome. And it takes you, gives you the highlights, takes you right to the game. It's pretty amazing. I wish all providers had that service.
Well, I do like DirecTV, to be honest with you. For whatever reason, their little guide things, it's working, but it's not, I don't know if it's missing on the internet connection or whatever right now, but when it's working, you can pull up the stats, the standings, all that stuff, just by the press of your remote. And I'll be honest with you, as a sports fan, DirecTV is the way to go. But with them, you have to do AT&T through your internet. I strongly advise going Comcast internet and DirecTV for your cable, so to speak. Because AT&T is no bueno. I mean, keep as long as you can keep that away, their customer service is horrible. Anyways, enough bashing of that. We might actually get a sponsor from them one day. looking at the lineup going into today, what do we have? Matt Kenseth at the top again?
We do. Kenseth's on the pole again, followed up by Kyle Busch, Joey Logano, Greg Biffle, and Denny Hamlin's your top five. 6 through 10 are Kurt Busch, Jimmy Johnson, Carl Edwards, Eric Almirola, and Ryan Newman. 11th, you got Harvick, followed by Junior, Keselowski, Austin Dillon, Truex Jr. And then I'm going to drop back to the big names. You got Gordon starting in 22nd. Clint Bowyer 23rd, Paul Menard 26th, Jamie McMurray 30th, Kyle Larson 31st, Tony Stewart back in 36th, and that's pretty much everybody relevant that fans are going to want to know about. Wasn't a good day for Tony. I know he had a bad qualifying. He was pretty upset. I read some reports on that, you know, I guess as the owner slash driver, he wants some changes made, and he wants some improvements in his team for the money they're spending around there. So a little late in the season for that, if you ask me, but he should have been disappointed a little bit earlier in the season. But at least he's getting fired up. Seems like he's getting his head back into it. So all signs for Tony Stewart fans. Looks like man's getting aggressive and competitive and probably going to take a big swing at the 2016 season. Which is good for him, man. I'm glad to see him kind of getting back into it.
This 100%. Is totally off the grid, but this is something that you know what really grinds my gears. So I'm a part of a lot of these Facebook groups from back when I was writing, and then now with the radio, and then of course just being a sports fan in general. So this one is a Boston Celtic one, because that's the only NBA team I've ever paid attention to. You know what really grinds my gears? So I'm only part of that because people tend to share, you know, big news or upcoming trade rumors, that kind of stuff, right? That's all I care about seeing. This one jackleg, and he's the only one that does it, this one jackleg literally comes on Facebook. For whatever reason, you can't block his actual daily. Like, it'll still show up as a highlights. I don't know if that makes sense, but in the page, it'll eventually notify me regardless. Even though I've hit don't notify me when this jackleg is doing this, isn't this? It'll eventually because he makes so many comments on this one page. On this one comment. You know what he's doing, Waller? The only thing this guy ever does for the Boston Celtic fan page, he does play-by-play comments on Facebook. I kid you not. They're in the middle of their preseason, and this jackleg, I guess it's from last night, is why I'm getting prompted today, because I've blocked this guy to prevent him from me seeing these stupid play-by-plays, right? He's doing play-by-play NBA preseason basketball on a Facebook group. Nobody ever likes him or comments or whatever. Like, this jackleg thinks he's, you know, I don't know, he thinks he's Bob Costas or something, or like he's really keeping you up to date on a preseason basketball game through Facebook text. Dude, I wouldn't even watch a preseason basketball game or listen to one. I sure as heck am not going to read about one on Facebook play-by-play. I mean, literally play-by-play. It says so-and-so with the layup. So-and-so has stolen the ball for a layup. This guy got a layup. This guy got a steal. So it's not even good play-by-play. So anyways, that's what really grinds my gears this morning.
That would grind my gear if I had anything NBA on my feed, but someone should introduce that dude to Twitter. That's where you need to do that crap if you're going to do it.
Yeah. Or Instagram, where I'm never on, so I don't have to see it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Nobody comes. Every once in a while, there will be like one guy that will make a comment, because I've scrolled through it before. There will be like one guy that'll like make a comment towards it, and then he doesn't even respond to it. He just keeps typing away. he you know, he acts like he's John Ward via Facebook text. It's basketball time in Facebook land. Get ready, folks. Hell,
I'm about to torture you with
not even a sport that I love. I wouldn't read that via text during the World Series Game 7. I wouldn't even read. I would find a way to listen to it or watch it. I used to write for this one.
Yeah, I was going to say, if you've got the internet service to check your Facebook, I'm pretty sure you can get the local radio station and hear a lot better option
Yeah. I used to write for this one group. I'm not going to bash them. There's a lot of good people at that company, but they would constantly want you to do lives, which meant that you would type in as the game was going on, what was going on. And they said that they got a lot of hits. I guess there were guys overseas that were, I don't know, that's the only thing. That's what they told me, so I believed it. But they said that they got a lot of hits, that there were people overseas that couldn't get it for whatever reason. I still don't buy that. If you can get the internet, why can't you log on somehow, unless there's some kind of rules that when you're over there that you can't hear over here? I don't know. But I will say at least they made it mandatory that you're actually making in-game comments. Okay? This guy is on Facebook. First of all, he's on Facebook. He's not a site that you're wanting to go to specifically for. But this guy is just literally just writing layup, steal, so-and-so's. Anyways, back to NASCAR, but it really grinds my gears. I think I might just have to sound off in there one day about it. But anyways, back to the actual game at hand. NASCAR.
I don't even know how you follow that.
I can't get it off my head, man. I'm just like, idiot. Preseason NBA. I'm not dealing with this all year long.
Oh, you ought to just reply to him and tell him the WNBA needs some postseason coverage. You should check them out.
Yeah, exactly. Can you please step your game up, sir? Could you please start texting us about what's going on in the practices as well? Let me know exactly when Olenek is getting off the bus pregame. That's when I want to really get locked in here on Facebook and reading your text.
Yeah, I want to know how the pregame shoot around's going too. Don't forget that. That's important. Oh, anyway, back to NASCAR.
Yeah, back to NASCAR.
Well, we're in the first race of the contender round.
On NBA preseason text. Anyway, go ahead. Yeah.
I'll never get that in my life back. That was just wasted. Thanks, Mac.
We Bleed Green is the Facebook page. If you want to go there and really get just, I say everyone goes in there and just bombard them.
I think we should have all our NASCAR fans go in there and bombard him. They'll never know what hit him then.
And he looks like the biggest sci-fi/ probably wannabe rapper nerd you've ever seen in your life. Anyways, go ahead. In other words, he looks like a Miami Hurricane fan.
Oh, B-Rad. I see what you're saying.
You should have seen this jackleg. We were sitting behind the Hurricane FSU game last night. First of all, his son has these foam finger U's, so you can't see the game. I was ready to just... My girl stopped me, but I wanted to go over and what I wanted to do is ask him, how much did you pay for those? And whatever it was, I was going to drop down $10 more dollars on top of that and just grab them and just chuck them. I was going to fling them as far as I could fling them. He's like, no, don't do that. You almost got in a brawl with the idiots as we're coming into the stadium, like I told you about before we came on air. But I was over that dude, man. I was over him. I did make sure that as we were leaving, because, you know, I mean, that's all you're seeing is this you. I did make sure as we were leaving, I stopped and I turned to him and said, thank you for losing tonight. Anyways, go ahead. Powered by Miller Lite. Okay, go ahead.
Race one of the Contender Series is at Charlotte. Round two.
I get in rare form in that stadium, man. I get in rare form.
Oh, man, I can only imagine. I mean, we're already off script. Let's just keep it there. I can just imagine you there last night. Me, never sell an ACQ radio member an armband for $15 that gives you all you can drink, Bud and Budweiser.
God, I mean,
not
I would
my
look
two
up
beers of choice.
If they would have $15... all you could drink beer at a Florida State Miami game, I would have been Well, first of all, I don't know if we would have been doing this show because there's a good chance I'd be in Leon County jail right now.
I'm not gonna lie, I'm hurting a little bit, but you know, the first thing in my mind is, are you punking me right now? Are you serious? I mean, I'm sitting here, $15, really? You know, I expected it to be $45, $50. You know, they want to make.
Especially
all
at
right,
a ball
guys,
game.
Y'all are losing out on this. This
yeah,
is a bad deal for you, but bring it on.
I haven't been to a Preds game in forever, but I'm guessing a Preds beer can't be cheaper than $5.
Oh, dude, Tall Boys, $9 if you're not a season ticket holder. I think the cheapest one you can get is like a 16-ounce beer for $6.50 or something. I don't know. I have to say I was highly impressed with, you know, I'm not a Bud fan, but I was last night. The first two, it didn't matter. They were all rolling. And they let you double fist. But anyway, bad idea. So I could just see me in that situation, you in your situation. Be glad we wasn't together or fans. Well, you hadn't had much of a radio show this morning anyway.
Wonder Twin Powers,
you definitely
activate.
Wouldn't have had one.
Wonder Twin Powers activate form of Royal Jacklegs.
Only thing would have been better if we could have had Tamus with us.
Oh, my God.
Which I want to give him a shout out. Thank you, buddy. I appreciate you picking Georgia yesterday. You are the complete curse of everybody you pick. Thank you. All right, I got to get this in real quick.
Yeah.
Second round of the contender series is Charlotte, Kansas, and then the big whammy is Talladega. That means Charlotte and Kansas. It's pretty much a two-race playoff. Everybody's going to be fighting for those two wins today and next weekend because the wild card's Talladega. You never know what's going to happen. You might have the most dominant car and be out front and something silly happen and end up behind you and somebody come down and just take you out from behind or bump up into you, cut a tire, ruin a day, or have a debacle like Jimmy Johnson last week where a $15 tire seal ends up costing you your chance at another championship. So, mile-and-a-half track, Gibbs have dominated this year. They've won the last four. I expect the Gibbs drivers to be up front this week. I also expect Jimmy Johnson to bounce back. Even though he's out of the chase, he's got a big incentive to win because everything he wins, if a non-chase contender wins the race, that's one less spot that a contender can get, so it's going to force them to point race. And in this round of the series, point racing going into Talladega is not the scenario you want to be in, so it's going to cause a lot of heartache and turmoil, and I'm sure Jimmy Johnson is cool with playing spoiler. He's owned Charlotte in the past, so I look to see Jimmy Johnson and the Gibbs cars up front. I think the Gibbs cars,
now next week
one
is,
of them will take it. Kansas.
Next week is Kansas? Okay, so it's okay, I think I pulled up the right thing. It's Charlotte, Kansas, Talladega, and then Martinsville, Texas, Phoenix, and then just Homestead. So,
yes.
Man, that is so hard to believe that Jimmy Johnson did not make the cut in the first round. I mean, that's
all he had to do. He had a 25-point cushion. All he had to do he had to finish in the top 25. That's all he had to do to advance to the next round.
That is just unbelievable.
And he lost the tire seal.
That's just, I get that's why he didn't, but it's hard for me to wrap that around my head that Jimmy Johnson isn't there because he's just, I mean, I was almost about to say he's the Michael Jordan of our generation when it comes to NASCAR, but heck, to be honest with you, he's more dominant than that because he's probably going to win a few more titles and he's already got six and still in his prime, you know? It's not like, It's not like that road is winding down, and you're like, he's not Tony Stewart over here. Bless his heart. But it's hard to believe that he's not in the round of 12. It's not shocking to me when someone even that statue doesn't make it down to the 8 or the 4, but the 12, you would think he's a shoe-in. I bet you could have won a lot of money in Vegas at the beginning of the year if there was a way to bet against him getting into the field of 12. It'd probably take me until this time next year to figure that out. But so who do you like going forward? Now, Now, the points, the way they have it set up here on the chase grid on NASCAR.com is a little confusing. What are they resetting the points? Is everyone even, Steven, or are they staggered at all, or what?
They're staggered with the drivers that won a race in the first round. So that would be Kenseth, Harvick, and Denny Hamlin. Should have it. I think it's a – I can't remember what they get going in the next round. They get 2 or 5 points per win they should have for their win in the previous round.
I'm pretty sure last year it was 5.
The picture – yeah, the picture you see – if you're on NASCAR.com, the chase picture is just who's in. They're in
right.
No particular order
right.
as to that because they've got Harvick dead last. And
I figured that – as soon as I saw that, you know, that Harvick was last, I was – My first thought was, well, this can't be actual rankings. This must just be. It's not alphabetical order. It's not numerical order. It's just some intern goes.
I believe
like
it's
Edwards.
5 points.
Okay, I like Edwards over Truex, over
yeah.
Bush, over Gordon. there's no. It's all random. I mean, they don't even have them organized in. I mean, you can't even say that they got all the Fords and Chevys together because even that's mess. Anyways, so
my intern was up late last night playing darts, drunk, blindfolded, and that's how they came up with their pick, their order.
Team must have gotten hired by NASCAR.com. Well, I don't know, but I really like the number 78 over the number 41, so I'm putting Truex Jr. up there. So Charlotte today, who do you like?
I'm gonna go Matt Kenseth, wire to wire.
Matt Kenseth,
I think he's
wire to wire.
I think wire to wire. The Gibbs cars have been strong. He got him a win in the last one. Like I said, he's got this race in Kansas. To try and pull it off before Talladega. So, I expect Jimmy Johnson to be up there trying to play a spoiler. And if Harvick really has his team going in the right direction after he was dominant last week, they should be up there running for it as well. I see them three up front all day. And another one that isn't high on the list but is in the chase is Ryan Newman. I expect a strong finish out of him, probably a great points day. I see Newman probably being up top 5.
Man, I'll tell you what, I like – well, I probably just sound like a broken record just because I'm a fan of Keselowski. So I like Keselowski today. I really want to see Kurt Busch do something, so I'm going to go with Kurt Busch, Keselowski. And let's get some fan interaction maybe the next few weeks. So I'm going to pull for Dale Earnhardt Jr. to get on a hot streak and maybe make a run at the chase. I think that would help our show immensely and just NASCAR in general.
Yeah, Jr. needs to win. NASCAR does better when Jr.'s winning. I mean, you're the most popular driver. You need him to win.
Kind of like the way they Tigerized a lot of these golf courses about a decade ago. They need to Dale-ize some of these tracks to get him in the victory circle, man. Because, more people pay attention when Dale Jr. Even people that don't watch NASCAR know who Dale Jr. is. Between who his father was and all the times that he's been on various MTV shows and other shows and whatnot, and you also see him in random commercials. Yeah, I like Dale Jr. To hopefully do something to die. I mean, I want to see Dale Jr. get as far as possible just because I think it's really good for the sport. I used to always pull against him just because I felt like everyone that liked him was a bandwagon fan, which most of them are, but it's still good for the sport. So I'm over the anti Dale Jr. phase, I guess, as I'm getting older and softer and watching Tony Stewart retire I guess I have to start to be more open-minded. We can't just not going to flip out, man. I guess I'll have to start being nicer. Screw you, Tony Stewart. You're already talking retirement, and it's just making me softer. I remember back in my day when Tony Stewart, I mean, man, those were the good old days. Tony Stewart was on the track. Dan Marino was still slinging the ball around. Bobby Bowden was on the sidelines. Now look at us.
Wow. And Nolan Ryan was throwing the heater.
The Braves were in the middle of a dynasty. Those were the days.
I had a conversation with a guy the other day about what we had in that dynasty and how many chances we just blew.
Oh, God, I know.
Stacked. I mean, just pure tea stacked.
Well, since we've gone off the rails, Brad's here. Brad, you want to talk about the dynasties that we've blown in the Atlanta Braves?
Man, it sure it's gone quick, hasn't it? It's rock bottom. But, hey, there's nowhere to go but up from here. I do
optimism this morning.
Yeah, well, thank you. I try to provide a little bit of that every now and then. You know, after a miracle happens and, you know, the Tennessee coaching staff actually makes good play calling for the Georgia game, you know, it's easy, a lot easier to be optimistic this morning. The Braves will be back. It's just going to take probably another year or two for him to get some pieces in place.
Brad, you sound like you slept at a Holiday Inn Express last night compared to me and McGee.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, Brad, I was at the FSU-Miami game last night.
Were you? Man,
yeah.
I was watching that game. You should have made a big poster board with something, you know.
Dude,
a nice picture.
If you saw the jackleg with the foam, I was stuck behind that jackleg all night long. I was telling Waller. I was telling Waller earlier, man. Yeah. My girl had to calm me down a few times because I wanted to go to the guy and ask him how much he paid for it, and if he said $20, I was going to hand him $40 and grab those damn things and just fling them in the air and just launch them into the crowd.
That was a good game, man. Miami was actually – they hung with them for a long time. I guess the big
Miami's
question is Al Golden. Yeah, is Butch Al Golden going to lose his job at the end of the year?
I don't know.
He
almost
really
pulled
it really
strong and saved his job yesterday, but he lost. I think if he rallies the troops, the thing is the odds-on favorite to win that division was Georgia Tech, and they're now 0-3 in the ACC. So he has a chance to honestly get in the ACC title game. If he does that, he can save his job. If he doesn't, all bets are off because – there's a lot of pressure on him this year because this is year three, I believe, for him. It might even be year four, but all the old guard is through with him, and they're done. You know, basically keeping his, I guess his. Acorns out of the fire.
he's losing momentum. I don't know. Yeah. I haven't checked.
And it's not helping him that he's down there representing DU with a necktie. Because you should have seen these idiots that I was in the crowd with, man. Oh, my God. My word. I'll tell you more about that off air, but I was very close to being incarcerated last night in Leon County. Let's just put it that way, man. We are coming to the end of this segment. We're going on to the top of the hour on WFOY, Armchair Quarterback Radio, the Fantasy Football Show. So keep it locked in here as the next 60 minutes will be all fantasy football.
Yeah, the Armchair Quarterback, he's kind of fun and he's kind of bad. The All-American Man.
You're the cool one in the
game. Welcome to Armchair Quarterback Radio's Fantasy Football Hour. Give us a call here at 929-477-3987. That's 929-477-3987. We will answer all of your fantasy football questions in the next hour, or you can tweet us at ACQB Radio. We're coming to you live from high atop the towers of Florida's First Coast to the mountain ridges of Middle Tennessee. This is Armchair Quarterback Radio. Welcome to the show, guys. Justin Waller and Brad Shelton, I'm Mac McGee. Brad, how are you this morning?
Man, doing fantastic. Another Sunday of football. Glad to be here.
And Justin Waller, how are you?
Doing great, man. Ringing? Couldn't be more. A little bit, but we'll
Brad,
survive. I don't need rehab.
Brad, in case you missed the first part of the show, or the listeners, in case you missed the first part of the show, by the way, give us a call here at 929-477-3987. That's 929-477-3987. We're taking all fantasy football questions. You can also tweet us live at ACQB Radio. Justin Waller got a deal last night where it was $15 all you can drink at the Nashville Predators game. So you do the math.
They lost money.
He's doing the show from a remote location down in the Davidson County jail.
Put it this way, I had double-digit fantasy points last night, folks.
I'll give him credit, man. He had one phone call and he used it to call the show.
That.
Don't worry. Well, we will tweet out to someone to get you a lawyer. Okay. But,
press one when the collect call comes in that I need more money or funds. Just go ahead and hook me up.
Okay, let's get into this, man. A big day in fantasy football. Of course, we have bye weeks going on, and we've got some pretty interesting matchups. If you have the NFL Sunday ticket, you kind of have it set up today where you can kind of keep your eye on a lot of the big games at once. I like the bye week part of the NFL season because you don't have 9 or 10 games on at once. You can kind of keep your eyes on a few games here and there, and then they have the 3-4 o'clock games today. And then also, you know, just a sports fan in general, the NASCAR race was delayed, and it won't start until today at noon. And then also the MLB playoff starts at 4 o'clock today. So if you're a baseball fan, there's a doubleheader in the American League, get started at 4 o'clock today on TBS. Okay, so let's get into the Brad's got some background noise. Let's get into the actual games at hand, the fantasy football, as we get into this. Looking at what we have going on in all of fantasy football, and what we're doing is we're trying to break this up into basically segments. So this first segment that we're going to do is the stardoms and sit-ems, and let's go ahead and get into those real quick. As we're doing the stardoms and sit-ems, Brad, who do you have that jumps out at you on the stardoms and sit-ems this week?
Well, I mean, you've got to put Justin Forsett in your lineup this week. You know, he rushed for 150 last week in a win over the Steelers, and you got to have him in your lineup. I don't know if you have 3 or 4 backs. He's probably going to start in most lineups anyway, but he's playing against the Cleveland Browns, and their defense has allowed a league-high 556 yards on the ground and also have given up the fourth most fantasy points to running backs this year. So that's the that's my start of the week as far as running backs go. As far as the quarterback position, you know, I believe the start of the week is Phillip Rivers, and he didn't do a whole lot last week, and he's also missing one of his receivers, but the Steelers have not been good against the pass this year. They've allowed 26-plus fantasy points per game to quarterback. So Phillip Rivers is also a veteran, so that's also another start. If you're looking for some lower names, we can go over a few of those too. But
I'll tell you what, at the quarterback, I really like Jay Cutler this week, and he's probably out there available in some of your leagues, but Jay Cutler, I expect Chicago is at Kansas City, and Kansas City has given up quite a few points to the quarterback position the last 3 weeks, and I expect them to do it again today. Cutler is a little bit of a risk if your league takes away for interception points, but he should make up for that with touchdowns. I really like Jay Cutler. It looks like Alshon Jeffrey might come back today. They still haven't made an official word. But regardless, I like that as a sneaky stardom. I like Leonard Hankerson at home against his former team, the Redskins. And unbelievably how low he is. And I know this is a no-brainer stardom, but just considering how low he is on the daily fantasy leagues and also the fact that he was drafted kind of low in most leagues, you got to start Todd Gurley. Todd Gurley is a definite stardom. And I like Charles Clay against the Tennessee Titan defense today. Charles Clay and even Mariota. I think Mariota could be a sneaky stardom.
And vice versa, Tyrod Taylor could be a really good start against the Titans as well.
Yeah, I kind of expect that game to be a shootout, don't you?
Yeah. And both of those quarterbacks are similar in their style of play. Both of them could get, 250 and a couple touchdowns passing and maybe end up with 50, 60 rushing yards. So they could both be, pretty good plays this week.
Waller, do you have any stardoms?
Yeah, I mean, I'm going to reiterate a lot of what you said. I mean, Justin Forsett's definitely the start this week. I agree with Philip Rivers as well. And you just stole my little, you can't really call him a sleeper pick, but Marcus Mariota. Buffalo's averaged giving up 24.5 points to the quarterback. So if you're in a little deeper league, somewhere where you might be able to get Mariota, where he hadn't been drafted, or even in a daily league, save you some money, he should have a good day today. My running back pick, if you don't have Forsett, it's going to be T.J. Yeldon. He's coming off his biggest game against the Colts, 22 carries, 105 yards. He's playing Tampa Bay. Tampa Bay's been horrible against the running backs. They allow Bishop Sankey 20 fantasy points, Alfred Blue 19 fantasy points, and have allowed the past three games a running back to score. So if he gets 20 carries today, he ought to have a monster game against Tampa Bay.
That's a good call. I agree.
Now, Siddums, man, if you haven't dropped this guy, traded this guy, tricked someone into taking him, mailed him to your friend COD and laughed once he got there, get rid of Tannehill. Anything involved with the Miami Dolphins, man, it's a dumpster fire. Just get rid of him. Tannehill and along in those same lines, I think it's time to cut bait with Lamar Miller. Of course, they're on a bye week, but I'm just going to the bigger picture of the whole Tannehill and Lamar Miller debacle that is the Miami Dolphins. I don't see any of this changing the culture. Of course, Dan Campbell became the new head coach, and I don't know if you saw some of the stunts that he's pulled in practice. None of that's going to change. Tannehill, I don't know. Something tells me that things just don't connect in between his ears. And I just, if you have Tannehill, if you can trick someone into a trade, do it. I mean, if you can get a kicker for Tannehill, get him. But with all that being said, outside of that, Siddums, Martavis Bryant comes back from suspension this week. And even though I think he's going to be solid down the stretch, anybody that has Michael Vick throwing to him, I'd be very leery of, especially with his first game back. You still probably want to start Brown just because it's hard not to. But I would wait until Big Ben was back or until Michael Vick shows that that's his favorite receiver and just going to dump it off to him. And
yeah,
another Siddums, and this is going to sound strange, but it's not that they are bad. It's the fact that those defenses are so good. Anyone that is involved in the Cincinnati-Seattle game today, if you have a better option, I would sit them. That means Andy Dalton, A.J. Green, Russell Wilson, any of those guys, because I expect that to be a really low-scoring, hard-nosed football game. And I think both teams are going to play close to the vest, because that's a situation when you have two strong defenses. Those two offenses, the first part of the game, really might be more playing not to lose and playing very conservative. And it won't be until someone actually gets down that they open the offense up. What y'all's take on that?
I mean, I agree. I mean, you got Thomas Rawls and Fred Jackson for Seattle. You know, I mean, they've, you know, anybody that's owned Jimmy Graham this year is, you know, obviously disappointment with, you know, his production in the passing game. I don't know how you don't get him more involved, but, you know, Cincinnati's got a good defense, so it's not getting any better this week. The one, Jeremy Hill, you know, has struggled this year going against a really good Seattle defense. So, I mean, I agree with you. The only player that I would be hesitant, you know, and Richard Sherman in the past pretty much sticks to the left side of the defense, so he doesn't shadow receivers. You could still get away with starting A.J. Green. Would be the only player that I could not take out of my lineup. But
the reason
you could
why
still
I think I think Sherman's going to be on him today because of all the jive that they had in the press this week. Did you see that where they were at each other again?
I did, but Richard Sherman typically doesn't shadow receivers like some of the other guys, like Aqib Talib, you know. So which brings me to another crazy sit. You know, you're talking about sitting A.J. Green. I think you sit Amari Cooper for what we were just talking about. Aqib Talib does shadow, you know, the best receivers. And this week, if you've got Amari Cooper in your lineup and you have other options, you know, I would think about maybe trying to plug somebody else in for this week. And it's not because, you know, Amari Cooper is bad. It's because Aqib Talib, the Broncos' defense, has been just that good. They've only allowed one touchdown and a mere 13-point fantasy points to wideouts this year. That's the fewest
point
in NFL.
If you have a better option, I wouldn't start a single Raider today. I wouldn't start Murray. I wouldn't start Carr. If you have a better option, sometimes you just have to roll the dice because it's between, well, I've got Derek Carr and I've got Jameis Winston. What do I do here? See if you can put a flex in there somehow. I don't know.
I think the same thing goes with the Detroit wide receivers, does it not? Matthew Stafford playing, you could kind of say the same thing for them. You know, Matthew Stafford hasn't been playing good.
I'll tell you how bad it is, Brad. I'm in a league where I'm starting Blake Bortles over Matthew Stafford.
Hey, don't feel bad. I've got Blake Bortles starting in two leagues. And in both of those leagues, I had Andrew Luck and didn't draft a good backup quarterback because Andrew Luck never gets hurt, right? So I picked my roster only planning on using a quarterback for his bye week. And now all of a sudden I go to the waiver wire. I'm with you. Blake Bortles is on the waiver wire in both leagues. So hopefully he passes for 500 today. Not likely.
Yeah.
That's
what I'm hoping, that horrible Tampa Bay defense is going to just give up a lot of points to Jacksonville. And that horrible Tampa Bay offensive line is going to have Winston running for his life and chucking the ball in the air and maybe creating some really short fields. So that's what I'm banking on today because I have Roethlisberger in every league. I even have Roethlisberger in some of my fantasy baseball leagues. I mean, I went hog wild with Roethlisberger, and then he dropped like a stone, and so did my heart. And I was like, here we go. So, anyways, with that being said, you know, in one league I've got Matt Ryan to place in there, but in the other league I thought Matthew Stafford would be a great backup option. New. So, and you know, honestly, there are some decent options out there at quarterback on the waiver wire in a lot of your leagues. Why? I'll tell you one. We got to go to break, but I think a sneaky stardom is Tavon Austin today because I think they're going to get down big to Green Bay and they're going to have to throw the ball. I think that's a sneaky stardom. It's not going to be one of these. I don't think he's going to be he's put up a lot of points at the half, but all of a sudden it's going to be like Jeremy Maclin a few weeks ago. You're going to look up in the middle of the fourth quarter and you're going to say, Tavon Austin has 100 yards receiving. How in the heck did that happen? Well, because they've been down 48-3 since the second quarter, and that's all they've been able to do is chuck it to him. That's the only bad thing about starting Gurley is he might be doing a lot of pass blocking, and unless your league has found out a way to get points for pass blocking, you might be up the creek. Exactly. Can we somehow figure out a way to get pass blocking as a stat? We're going to take a really quick break. When we come back, we're going to go be We're going to be at a second part of our segment. Sorry. The waiver wire bonanza is kind of like what we just did there, but looking for guys that were on the waiver wire this week that you might be able to add. Give us a call here at 929-477-3987. That's 929-477-3987. You're listening to Armchair Quarterback Radio.
1, 2, 3, 4. Well, pizza is delicious. Vegetables are nice. I can show you why. I love pizza pie.
It's football time in Jacksonville, and that can only mean two things. Armchair Quarterback Radio and V Pizza. Stop off in at the new location at 12601 San Jose Boulevard in Jacksonville. That's in Mandarin, just north of the Julington Creek Bridge. They have 44 beers on tap and a brand new tap garden. Fresh ingredients and a Napolitana-style pizza that can't be beat, and our award-winning wood oven wings. If you like a little spice, try the Calabrian wings. We're open for lunch and dinner. Wednesday night, we have trivia. We'll also have live music on the weekends and the NFL Sunday ticket. That's right, football fans. If you're an NFL fan and you can't see your team, come on into V Pizza, where one of your 44 beers on tap will go great with a Carnivora, Deladone, Pizza Palo, or our award-winning wood oven wings. And after you get your fill with pizza and beer on your way out, grab yourself some gelato. That's V Pizza and Mandarin, where the secret ingredient is the ingredients.
Well, I believe I'll have me a beer, 'cause it ain't sold in heaven. You gotta buy it right here, and you can't take it with you whenever you go. So I believe I'll drink all I can hold.
Back here on Armchair Quarterback Radio. Give us a call here at 929-477-3987 or tweet us live at ACQB Radio. I'm Mac McGee sitting alongside Brad Shelton and Justin Waller, and we're getting into our waiver wire bonanza as we're going to go out there and tell you guys that we're probably on a lot of the waiver wires in a lot of leagues that we need to address as far as get out there and grab them for this week, because it might be a good start. It might be someone that you could use for the future. I'll get it started. I got a handful of them here. I'll go ahead and give you a couple, and then we'll go around the table. C.J. Spiller could be a good start today. He had that 80-yard touchdown catch last week as they beat the Cowboys on Sunday night. But in a PPR league, I like C.J. Spiller as a pickup. And another guy on the Saints, Sweet Willie Snead, appears to be getting quite a bit of attention from Drew Brees. And I'll go to you, Brad.
I like him. Yes, I like Willie Snead. I actually picked him up in the Armchair Quarterbacks league. I was surprised because I waited a couple of days after the fact to get him, I believe. And nobody with 16 teams in there, I was really surprised that he was even available. But yes, you're exactly right. He has really emerged as really the front runner for the targets. Marquez Colston has gotten old. Brandon Cooks has slipped into the shadows. And I mean, Brandon Cooks has not played as well as he could. Brandon Coleman has kind of slipped behind in the depth chart to Willie Snead. So that's a great way
Cooks
to pick up.
And I don't mean to cut you off, but Cooks has been such a disappointment. I mean, even going back to last year, I thought he was going to have a much bigger year than he did last year. He didn't end up doing okay, but he's been a big disappointment this year.
They got to find ways to get him the ball. I don't care if it's, you know, screen passes or wide receiver reverses. He's too good with the ball in his hands not to figure out a way to get him at least 5
They got
to
Percy Harvin him.
Yeah, he does. He's a very quick, athletic young guy. You know, so the Saints offensive coordinator has failed a little bit there too, I think. But, you know, to go on waiver wire pickups, another one just to kind of shadow you here, Travis Benjamin. I know he was picked up early, had a really good game, I believe, against Houston in week one. He's on a lot of waiver wires. If you've got a set in Amari Cooper, or if you're thinking about setting A.J. Green, whatever, he's a guy that could, you know, be a breakout receiver. The Ravens have not been good against the pass this year. He could be a wide receiver three type option for you. So he's kind of like Willie Snead in that area. You know, if you need somebody to pick up, you might get lucky with either one of those guys. Also, Julius Thomas. You know, I almost forgot about him. I was running through the waiver wire this morning. I don't know if you've heard this, Mac, but Julius Thomas is active today with that hand.
Yeah, I don't know what to expect from him, but yeah, he's worth a try. Why not? I mean, they
no
put
doubt
a lot of money into him in the off season. You figure they've got to be gearing him towards at least a significant part of their game plan going forward. Maybe not the first game, but they are playing Tampa. So, yeah, he's worth a shot. Why not?
Well, the offensive coordinator said there'll be no limitations. Now, whether you believe that or not, I'm kind of with you. I think there will be some limitations. But yeah, definitely worth a shot. And he was actually in a waiver wire in a league that I play on the waiver wire. If you're listening, jump on your waiver wire, see if some goofball hasn't picked him up this year. He shouldn't be out there, but if he has, go get him. Put him on your bench or start him, one or two.
Yeah, like the problem that I have in a couple of leagues, and I do like him, but the problem I have in a couple of leagues is that some of the leagues, our benches are so shallow, you can't really afford to have a second tight end, and I have pretty good tight ends in most of my leagues. With that being said, if he's still out there, Gary Barnage of Cleveland, man, that guy's on fire, and he's still available in a lot of leagues.
That's a good pick.
Owen Daniels goes up against a Raider defense that has allowed 6 touchdowns to tight ends. That's a good pickup today. We already mentioned Charles Clay. Antonio Gates is back. There's a lot of talent out there. Yeah, there's a lot of talent out there on the waiver wire when it comes to tight ends. No one's quite Gronk yet. And no one's what Aaron Hernandez was or Jimmy Graham was, but there are some guys that are starting to emerge again. And so they're go up and down your tight end list. But I mean, even Richard Rodgers is getting some looks in Green Bay. I don't know if I would go hog wild with him because I don't know how many yards he's going to get. If you're in a yardage league, he might hurt you. But if you're in a strictly touchdown league, he's worth a flyer.
Even Delanie Walker would be a good pickup again. Yeah, I mean, just to add to your tight end list, Delanie Walker would be a good pickup against Buffalo today. They've allowed 2 of their tight ends to score, and with him being back, him and Mariota have had good chemistry. We saw that in our last game. A couple wide receivers we didn't mention. Leonard Hankerson, he stepped up as the number 2 with Roddy White, kind of moving back to the 3. So, could be an option there for you if you need it. And if you're real desperate, Kamar Aiken, he's Joe Flacco's pretty much only target. So aside from Forsett, Kamar Aiken would be worth playing this week against Cleveland if you needed it. And a quarterback that in 2 of my leagues that was sitting there was Alex Smith. Chicago's allowed 3 quarterbacks to have multiple touchdowns. So could be a good pickup right there for you. If you own Tannehill, I'd at least drop him for Alex
real
Smith.
Quick, real quick, Waller, I don't mean to cut you off, but we have a tweet. The question is pretty much for all of us. Should I try to dump off LeSean McCoy? # he's made of sugar and spice. I'll tell you what, if you can get someone to give you a decent return, I would, but I don't know how much you can get for him right now. You might want to wait for him to come back and have a bust-out game or two, because right now everyone's down on him. So that's going to be a hard, hard sell to someone. That's going to be like trying to sell DeMarco Murray to somebody right now.
I mean, I think it depends on your record. What are you doing right now? Are you 1-3? Are you 0-4? Are you 2-2? You know, if you're desperate for a win, maybe you put your feelers out there, see what you can get for him. But LeSean McCoy is a talented enough back. If you're right now, if you're running 3-1, 4-0, you know, and you're sitting up there at the top of your division, I hold on to it, you know, because he's got way too much talent and can be a breakout running back for you at the end of the year, and really it's the playoffs that matter the most. So
he's got
really
a grade two hamstring. Yeah, he's got a grade two hamstring pull. The diagnosis is 3 to 4 weeks, but he's also made the comment that he's not coming back until he's 100% healthy, which that makes you nervous as a fantasy owner, because who in the heck's 100% healthy? Who's 100% healthy in the NFL ever? Heck, I'm not even 100% healthy ever. Just by the time I think I'll bang my toe on the desk or something, you know? I mean, who's ever 100% healthy? a couple of times at last call and you're not 100% healthy. So, I mean, I don't know what he means by that. but it's like you said, where are you at? I've got a league where, believe it or not, I have, looking at it right now, I have Le'Veon Bell, Todd Gurley, Latavius Murray, and LeSean McCoy. And it's not a very deep bench. Of course, Todd Gurley I got kind of late in the draft. Oh, and also I have Duke Johnson. Now, with that being said, I have no wide receiver depth. I'm going to try to run the triple option or something, I guess, later on this year. But, like, I'm not stressing about LeSean McCoy in that league because I've got all these other guys. But if he's supposed to be one of your main guys and he's not producing, you might want to trade him to someone who has a lot of depth. They can give you a lower-tier running back if you're just looking for some kind of production. Other waiver wire bonanzas that I liked this week, and these are just guys that you might want to just fill in because of bye weeks and whatnot. We talked about Mariota. We talked about Owen Daniels. Danny Woodhead is back, and he is at home on Monday night versus a bad Pittsburgh defense, and that should pay good dividends. Danny Woodhead, if you're in a pinch and you need a starter. Plus, if he's still out there, Ronnie Hillman looks like that he's turned the corner and is getting the lion's share of the rushes in Denver, and they play a suspect Oakland defense today.
Yeah, that stinks too.
And Alex Smith is playing the Bears, and I kind of like that play too.
And how does Danny Woodhead become fantasy relevant when you have Melvin Gordon on your roster? That is insane.
Danny Woodhead is so short that you can't see him, and he just kind of squirts underneath your legs into the end zone.
He's like Darren Sproles.
Yeah, he's like Darren Sproles, but with no talent. He's not fast. He's kind of quick, but, I mean, Danny Woodhead is a riddle wrapped in an enigma. I mean, I have no idea how Danny Woodhead has become relevant, but he has. And he gets the goal line touches. I guess he's just one of these guys that has a nose for the end zone.
Go figure.
I'm going to try not to. We're going to take a really quick break. When we come back, we're going to be talking sell high and buy low. If you got players that you're thinking you can sucker a sucker into, or a player that you think you may be able to get from somebody, just keep it locked in here on Armchair Quarterback Radio. We'll be taking your calls and your tweets, and we've got a couple of tweets lined up for who everyone wants to start and sit. So tweet us at ACQB Radio on Twitter, or call us at 929-477-3987. Armchair Quarterback Radio's Fantasy Football Hour comes your way every Sunday at 11 a.m. here on 102.1 FM and 1240 AM WFOY. Justin Waller, Brad Shelton, and Mac McGee answer all of your fantasy football news, pickups, stardoms, and sit-ems. Find Armchair Quarterback Radio on Facebook for show schedules, breaking news, and sports funnies. That's the Fantasy Football Hour every Sunday at 11 a.m. here on WFOY. Armchair Quarterback Radio, the lighter side of Southern Sports. Okay, we are back here on ACQBRadio.com, 102.1 FM in the Jacksonville, St. Augustine area, 1240 AM on WFOY. And you can also listen to us at 1021news.com. Let's get into this sell high, buy low. These are players that you think are on the way out or on the way up. And we'll start with the sell hi, and I'll get it started off. Well, I already mentioned it a little earlier, Tannehill. Sell Tannehill if you can get it. Find any buyer, or you might just want to drop him. I would sell DeMarco Murray if I had him. I would sell Roddy White if I had him. I would sell Jeremy Hill if I had him. And I would sell Lamar Miller if I had him. Brad, what you got?
I add to that, I would sell C.J. Anderson. Even though, Ronnie Hillman, like we talked about earlier, is coming along too. So I will see what you can get out of him. But, you know, if Ronnie Hillman fumbles again, that's been his problem, is holding on to the football. So, you could probably still get something out of C.J. Anderson right now.
And Waller, what you got?
I'm going to blow some people's minds, but I'm looking to offload Calvin Johnson and am quite considering Beast Mode or Sean Lynch.
Are you still drinking that free beer?
No.
Calvin Johnson?
I'm being dead serious. I could get good return for him. Two-player trade, cough up Megatron, help you in a lot of leagues. Better options out there right now. That team's horrible.
Look at
what he's done this year. He hadn't been dominant. I mean, he's what, an eight? Well, I mean, Brad probably knows the exact number. What is he, an 8, 9, 10 ranked receiver? He's not the number 2-3 option anymore.
Yeah, a lot of it falls on Matthew Stafford, but if you don't have a quarterback that can get you the ball, it doesn't do you much good as a receiver. I mean, you're right. He's not putting up numbers, any better than number 2.
Do you think it's all Stafford's fault?
I think it's the team, the city's fault.
The only thing that I say, it's all State of Michigan's fault. it's probably Canada's fault for touching Michigan, which touches Detroit.
they ain't having problems in Ann Arbor, so it's Detroit.
It's true. Three straight shutouts for Michigan.
Well, I mean, what's Harbaugh doing on Sundays? Tell him to go over and coach the Lions. It can't be that far of a commute. Come on, man.
Get a pickup game, man. Come on.
Get it together, Harbaugh. Slacker. The only thing that I will say, if you do keep Megatron, their last three games of the season, which is in the fantasy football playoffs, at the Rams, which isn't the greatest, but, man, semifinals, they're at the Saints and at home against the 49ers. Those might be some really – and then for some reason you're in a league that plays in Week 17, they're at the Bears. If you're in a league that plays in Week 17, punch the commissioner in the head and never sign up for that league again. But I will say this, the Lions players will still be playing because they won't have anything locked up at that point, except maybe the number one overall pick. Man, that's an interesting take, Phil Megatron. I think it's still too early, but if you are desperate and you need multiple help, I can see that. I wouldn't sell Megatron one for one, but I could see getting a Megatron for a 1A and maybe a 1B, 1C type player. But at that point, because he's struggling, you're going to have harder time getting what he's actually worth, unless if some guy showed up to your draft in a Megatron jersey or a Detroit Lions hat, sucker that sucker into it.
If it's Sean O'Toole, man, you could get his whole team for
Calvin. Yeah, exactly. you could probably get his car, and at least you may not be able to get his entire house, but I bet you could at least own his backyard. This is the same guy that drafted Jake Plummer, number 4 overall, 1 year. Waller bragged about it all.
Wow.
I got a secret pick. Like he was in the know.
Yeah, I bet you do.
Jake Plummer. Bye. These guys are on the bye. Ronnie Hillman, we talked about. Gary Barnage, we've talked about. Duke Johnson, if you can get a hold of him. I think his points are going to start going way up later. Willie Snead, we've talked about. We've almost gone through my entire list. I didn't do a very good job of or I guess I did too good of a job of foreshadowing. Antonio Gates, if he's out there, he's coming off the suspension. I think that he's going to put up pretty good numbers once again with Phillip Rivers. And here's an interesting guy that I like, mainly this week, maybe not long term, but Eli Manning's going up against the 49ers tonight on Sunday Night Football. I like Eli in that game.
I like his brother, too. I know he's been a disappointment this year, but I think you can start him against Oakland. I think that Peyton Manning is due for a bounce-back game. Oakland hasn't been good against the pass either. I actually benched him last week in my league. I have him and Phillip Rivers. But that's pretty bad that you bench Peyton Manning. But I think you can trust him to put up a decent game, too. So both Mannings are good this week.
What is this world coming to when we're talking about trading Megatron and benching Peyton Manning?
I have no idea. It's crazy.
It's not a world I want to live in. The Jets defense is on a bye this week. Do y'all have any? I've got one that's out there in a lot of leagues that I like. The Atlanta defense is at home against Washington, and it's available in a lot of leagues. Do y'all have any other defenses out there? I got a guy that's tweeting in. I guess he only has one defense, and the Jets are on a bye.
Yeah, I got two of them. The Giants, San Francisco has allowed the most fantasy points to opposing defense special teams, and the Jaguars, Tampa Bay is number two in coughing up points to defense special teams.
Yeah, I actually like that Jaguar pick. The Jaguars you would think that would be a good, tight, exciting game, but to be honest with you, on paper, the Jaguars should roll them. I mean, I think the Jaguars should win that game by a couple of touchdowns. But it is the Jaguars, and it is on the road, so you never know. But when you look at the talent that's in Tampa, there's not a whole lot of it. That offensive line's horrible. The secondary is putrid, and the front seven's a sieve. So, I mean, Jacksonville could be playing with the ears pinned back, and if it's not a league that takes away for giving up points, if it's strictly for sacks and interceptions, all that kind of stuff, the Jags might actually have a big lead early and might really cash in on some turnovers and sacks. I like that one. Brad, do you got any?
That's on the waiver wire. I don't know what could be on your waiver wire as far as defenses that will be good today. I think Waller picked up maybe the one that would be out there is the Giants. I don't have anything on my waiver wires defensive-wise that would help you out today. So, I think the Giants is the number one pick. Waller pegged it on that one.
I just realized I'm sitting pretty in one of my leagues. I was looking to see if in one of my Yahoo leagues, if Julius Thomas is out there. I was like, man, he's already taken it. I was like, oh, because he's on my bench because I've got Gronkowski. That's why.
A good problem.
I'm not listening to Brad on this one. I'm not going to start Julius Thomas this week.
If you don't have Rob Gronkowski, you can start Julius Thomas.
We got one calling or text in here. It's looks like it says Sharon from Mandarin. No, Sheldon from Mandarin. It is Michael Crabtree or Martavis Bryant?
Ooh.
Probably Crabtree. But that's a – man, that's
yeah,
a –
I don't trust that Vic can hit him.
You know what makes me nervous? Martavis Bryant's been suspended for 4 weeks. He comes back, and he's already on the injury list with the knee. Like, what did he hit his knee on, a coffee table? Like, what is he talking about? He's got a knee injury. He's been suspended all year. Because I got high. How in the world did Martavis Bryant hurt his knee? That's what we really want to know. Today on TMZ. I guess I go on with Crabtree with that one.
Yeah.
Just because I kind of figure they're going to be behind. And I really don't know what to – it makes me nervous starting a wide receiver when Vic is the quarterback. This isn't 2005. So it's and he didn't look that great the other night against a Ravens defense that was giving up a lot of points. I don't know. That's a tough one.
And Vic rolling out towards the end zone, threw the ball 7 yards over the receiver's head. No NFL quarterback should throw a pass that bad. I'm with you. Bryant's obviously the most talented by a fairly decent margin, but, you know, I don't trust Vic either. I would have to start Crabtree by default.
Oh, and if this helps it out even more, they're this is opponent points ranked against Crabtree's 32nd for wide receivers and Martavis Bryant's 31st. So that doesn't help out at all. Yeah, that's a flip of the coin, but honestly, I think I'm going Crabtree. I mean, a guy's been suspended for 4 games coming back with a knee injury and a bit of a drug problem. I think I'm going to let him – I'm going to make him prove to me that he should have been started. Let's see. Going through, we're about to go into the DraftKings segment. Do y'all have any more sell highs, buy lows, any stuff like that before I take a quick break? Because I got a couple of tweets I want to get to, but they're the more pertaining to the DraftKings.
I don't.
Okay.
I do not.
All right, cool. Well, with that being said, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to be doing the DraftKings, which means you have time to jot these down. Get in the DraftKings leagues. They're the daily fantasy leagues. You can win money. You go to DraftKings.com. You can also go to FanDuel. There's a bunch of them out there. We just pick DraftKings because they have the best app right now. Give us a call here at 929-477-3987. That's 929-477-3987. You're listening to Armchair Quarterback Radio.
When the moon hits your eye like a big pizza pie, that's amore.
Hi, I'm Mac McGee of the Armchair Quarterbacks. Football season is back, and the big game equals big appetites, and V-Pizza is your destination for both. V-Pizza is Napolitano-style pizza in the taste of old Italy that you've been looking for all along. Make sure to pair it with our award-winning wood oven wings and an ice-cold beer from near and far. Come see us in San Marco at 1406 Hendricks Avenue or Jack's Beach at 528 First Street North. That's V-Pizza, where the secret ingredient is the ingredients.
But you see, back in old Napoli, that's amore.
We are back here on Armchair Quarterback Radio, getting ready to do our DraftKings Daily Fantasy Pick'ems. And that's right, it's that time of week for us.
Winner, winner, chicken dinner. Winner, winner, chicken dinner.
That's right. We're going to let you know who to grab on the cheap. Because if you've never played these daily fantasy leagues, everybody's got Aaron Rodgers. Everybody's got, all the big names at all the big positions, the Gronkowskis, all that kind of stuff. What you're trying to do is load your team up with some of those, but you're also looking for a steal here and there. And we'll get into it. We'll let Brad Shelton start this off.
Okay. Well, my first question before I start this off was, who won week one?
I'm pretty sure you did. That's why I put us in the league that we're in right now, so it will actually compute the thing for us so we don't have to.
I know, last week we officially started it, you know, for the.
Right, and I'm pretty sure you won.
Okay, well, good. Well, I just wanted to make sure, so I'm going to mark a one in the win column then. That always feels good to get in the win column since my fantasy.
The problem was that after I did this and then I looked at it, I'm like, man, Brad, I'm not going back to the days where I'm going to the newsstand on Monday morning to get the USA Today, and I have to. I have to pull out the newspaper and start counting and, you know, getting my eraser out going, well, you get 2 points for that, and you get, well, I'm not going back to that, man.
two hours of homework every day. Well, good, it'll figure it up for us. I'll go ahead and get it started with your winning lineup for this week, too. So At quarterback, I'm going to go cheap here. I'm going to go with Tyrod Taylor against the Titans. 5,800 is all I had to spend for him. At running back, I will go with Jamaal Charles. I did spend 7,800 for him. And then I'm going to take a flyer with Carlos Hyde, a disappointing year. It's going against the Giants, 4,900, all I spent for him. Julian Edelman, consistent every week, hard not to pick that guy, 7,000. Pierre Garçon, I got for 5,300 against the Falcons defense, who's not that good. I also took Vincent Jackson, hopefully catching some passes from your boy there, 5,000. My tight end is Martellus Bennett from Chicago. Chicago's not good, but he always seems to be an integral part of the offense. At my flex position, I took Justin Forsett, which is my play of the day. 5,800 is what I took for him. And then I took the Bills defense at 3,400.
The Bills defense at 4,400. Okay. Waller, what you got?
I went even cheaper than Brad on my quarterback. I went Alex Smith. I'm starting Everett, the entire Chiefs against the Bears. Picked up Alex Smith, 5,500. Going with Jamaal Charles as well, 7,800. A little different at running back. I'm going to stick with Freeman, Devonta Freeman, one more week against Washington. Picked him up for 6,300. Julian Edelman as well for 7,000. Wide receiver two, Larry Fitzgerald, 6,800. Jeremy Maclin for 6,000. My tight end, I went Delanie Walker for 3,800. And flex went Leonard Hankerson for 4,000. And I'm going to start the Bengals defense at 2,800.
Okay. I went with Tom Brady. I just feel like a week off getting ready for Dallas and those horrible comments that idiot Hardy said. I'm not going to repeat them, but those horrible comments that he made about Brady's wife and whatnot. I think the last person on earth that you want to make mad on a bye week is Tom Brady. So I'm taking Tom Brady at 7,800, Jamaal Charles at 7,800 as well. Sounds like a sweep to me. Then I got Matt Forte, 7,000. Hankerson I took as well at 4,000. And I went a little off the grid. Alan Hearns, 4,500. I think he's going to get some points, get some yardage down there in Tampa today. And Aiken is my third wide receiver. I'm taking him at 3,800. I really liked him at 3,800. And then as far as a flex, I couldn't pass up the potential of Todd Gurley at 4,300. And New England's defense at 3,900. And then, of course, at tight end, I got the Gronk, baby. The Gronk on a bye week going against the Cowboys. For once, I really hope – I'm actually pulling for the Patriots, and I hope they blow out Dallas. Because just the fact that jackleg would say what he said after coming back. But first of all, he should be suspended for longer than what he was suspended for what he did to that woman and the terror that he put her through. And for him to only get four games is nauseating. But then for him to make the comments, all guns a-blazing and all that kind of stuff, and then he made the comments about Brady's wife. For once, I'm actually gung-ho pulling for the Patriots, and I hope they beat him 500-0. I don't know what y'all's take on the Patriots situation versus Dallas today is. If y'all caught any of that,
if they win 500-0, then I'm pretty safe to say that's going to be an NFL record.
Oh, if they
I
win
hope
500,
you're right. I'm starting their defense.
I've got that lineup in a couple of like big long shot money leagues. If they win 500-0,
winner, winner, chicken dinner.
It's going to be life-changing events for us, guys. Let me tell you, let's put it that way. We'll be able to put in a lot of notices. Uh, looking at some of the matchups, and we're getting some of the tweets in here. One of them is it's just a blanket question. What can I expect from Andre Ellington today? I don't know. At Detroit, he is supposed to play.
Yeah.
They say they're not going to restrain him, but still, it's been a while since he's played. Lions gave up 17th most fantasy points. I wouldn't expect the world, but I expect him to put up at least double digits today. I mean, Detroit is bad. And they have to be just demoralized from last week. And it was a Monday night game. I expect Arizona to go in there and just kind of mop up the room with them.
I'm still leery of his status. I mean, Detroit did play better on Monday night. Was a heartbreaking loss for him. But, man, I don't know. Having CJ in there, Johnson still scares me. He's going to get the majority of it in the big plays with him just coming back. If you got a better option, I would look at it.
Another question. Joseph Randle with the Dunbar injury. Play him, don't play him. He should get the lion's share of the carries. McFadden's taken a few of the carries away from him, but if you're choosing between those two, definitely Randle.
Yeah, definitely. McFadden's first cousin is Sherman Toilet Paper. You know, he's
exactly.
That dude is,
I was just about to say, he's a coffee table away from a bang knee. So I mean. If I had Darren McFadden on contract, I'd have that guy when he wasn't playing. I'd have him in like a NASA astronaut suit where he's just one, you know, just making sure that nothing touches him, including like a stiff breeze.
Put him in a room. Yeah, put him in a room with styrofoam walls. Be like, McFadden, you're not getting hurt this week, buddy.
Yeah, him and Fred Taylor could be sisters, man. I mean that guy's always hurt. See, we got another one here. This is an interesting one. I'll let the resident Packer take this one. Do I start Leonard Hankerson versus Washington or Randall Cobb versus St. Louis?
Oh, my gosh.
Right.
Are you kidding me? You don't even have to finish that statement. That's not even close. Randall Cobb.
Hankerson, baby.
100%. Hankerson is a good sneaky play. Cobb is just a automatic play. I mean, unless Cobb, you know, has told you that he is, you know, 31% or lower, there is no question. You start Randall Cobb.
Yeah, I mean, I agree. I just thought it was funny that someone actually. I mean, and don't get me wrong, Hankerson is not chopped liver, but he's a wide receiver too right now. Cobb is a wide receiver one.
And especially if you're playing in a lineup, if it's a PPR league, I mean, it even furthers the argument for Randall Cobb because
now this is actually a good one. This is actually a good one, Brad. I have Ryan Matthews, I have DeMarco Murray, and there are a couple of good running backs out there. Should I just drop Murray, hold on to Matthews, and then that's where the tweet ends?
It depends on your run. It depends on your depth, how many bench players you got. I think there's some variables there that I would need to know to be able to tell you to do that, how the rest of your team looks. But I wouldn't drop. I'm not sold that Murray's season is over, so I wouldn't drop him unless you're just stacked with other running backs. If you've got three or four other running backs that can start for you, then yeah, and you need a wide receiver or something else, then go drop him. But Murray is still way too talented. It's his first year in this offense, it may just take him a little while to, you know, to get going. I don't drop DeMarco Murray. I had DeMarco Murray in 2 weeks. I'm not dropping.
I'd be
Brian
working some trades with him, but I wouldn't drop him.
Yeah, good
Jacksonville
point.
Brian Jacksonville must be listening because he's answering back and he says Duke Johnson is available as well as Steve Smith Sr. I guess maybe this is a flex question. Steve Smith Sr., Duke Johnson, Kendall Wright, .. or hold on to Murray. I'll tell you what, that's a good question, because I'm going to tell you right now, I don't think Murray's going to do anything this year. Can you sucker someone into a trade? That's a totally different question. So you kind of have to kind of get the temperature of the room, because we all have that one moron that plays in our fantasy league. And if you can trick that one moron, especially that moron happens to be an Eagle fan, man, just give him Murray and just take whatever you can take from him.
Well, I will say this. If you're in a must-win this week, Wright would be the one out of that list I would pick up due to the Bills have been horrible against slot receiver. I think he'll have a big day. If a Titan's going to have a big day, it's going to be Kendall Wright today. But, man, that's hard to just drop. Depends on what type of league it is and how desperate you need that win.
And to counter that point, Steve Smith is the best receiver on that list. So if you could get away, if you don't have to have a position, you have a bench spot, Steve Smith is the better receiver to pick up, but he's not going to play this week. So, and Duke Williams, right. I know that we've all talked about Duke Williams. I think he keeps getting better and better every week, you know. So that that's a really a great question. I don't give up on Murray yet. I know, Mike, you're kind of giving up on Murray. I think it's too early to write him off yet.
Off with his head, man. Off with his head. I say get rid of him. I have no patience.
Keep in mind, we fired Charlie Strong yesterday, so, yeah.
Yeah, we
might need to be
a little
bit more patient.
Yeah, on a Saturday show, Charlie Strong and Butch Jones are both fired. I still stand by those statements. I still stand by those statements. Even a blind corn, even a blind squirrel finds an acorn. They're both going to have to make bowl games before I sit there and say, hold on to them. And realistic, I don't want to get into that. But, man, come on. Just because you make a bowl game when you were preseason talking about winning the SEC East, that's no. Meanwhile, back at the ranch, the Florida Gators are undefeated, just rolling. I'm like, wow. Where you at, Butch Jones? And Mark Richt is, as Waller put it last week, the Bulldogs are just Georgia-ing about it. It's like the best verb ever.
Yeah, Mark Georgia. Richt and Bob Stoops are, you know, both very similar. They're really good coaches, old school, but they both choke every year, just like Oklahoma chokes. You know, Mark Richt chokes. Neither one of those guys, I don't think, ever won a national championship because they can't run through a season without losing the game they're not supposed to lose.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, Stoops ought to be ashamed of himself, man. I mean, that's just flat out ridiculous. To lose that game? Come on!
Yeah, I mean, Georgia gets a little bit more credit than Oklahoma does, because at least Georgia played at Tennessee with 102 screaming fans, and Tennessee's been up by 13 points or more on every opponent they played this year. So it's not like they were playing a bad football team. Texas was a bad football team.
Yes. Horrifically bad. And not only did they win, I didn't get a chance to see the whole thing because I was heading to the game in Tallahassee. But, heck, Oklahoma had to rally to make it a close game. I mean, that's what's really dumbfounding about it. Anyways, that's going to about do it for this week's edition of Armchair Quarterback Radio. Coming up at the top of the hour, it's Jaguars today, and then right after that, Jacksonville Jaguar football rolling into Tampa as they will be taking on the Buccaneers. We'll see you next week. Thanks for listening and tweeting. You're listening to Armchair Quarterback Radio on WFOY. Like Armchair Quarterback Radio on Facebook for prizes and giveaways, and follow us on Twitter at ACQB Radio. Listen to us every Saturday on ACQBRadio.com at 10 a.m. to noon for the Southern College Football Tailgate, and Sundays at 11 a.m. here on WFOY 102.1 FM and 1240 AM. Each week to listen and win. For Justin Waller and Brad Shelton, I'm Mac McGee. Thanks for listening to Armchair Quarterback Radio, and good luck to all of your fantasy teams.